Welcome to Showdown. I'm Mark Kaysen, and it's Tuesday, August the 13th. And while Tim Walz and Kamala travel the country, accumulating votes at every stop, Donald is busy ranting and raving for hours on end with Elon Musk to no purpose whatsoever. All of the craziness, all of the dark dystopian lunacy that he puts on the X or whatever you call it now, the purpose is clearly irrelevant to anything having to do with the election. There isn't one voter who's going to listen to what he's saying and think, you know, this man who's ranting and raving for 2 hours on end about nothing, that's the man who I want to vote for. Now, we know what's happening here. The right wing and Donald are unraveling before our eyes. He's melting down. He's terrified by what's happening here. He knows that at the very least, he's going to lose this election, and good chance he may find himself in jail for a good long time. But it doesn't stop him. It doesn't change his plan, as if he had one. He just keeps rolling along, saying things that are so bizarre that really people on both sides are trying to figure out what his problem is. I know this afternoon there's a mayor from Mesa, Arizona, a Republican, one of many, running around on the talk circuit explaining why they will never vote for Donald J. Trump ever again, and why they recommend that people vote for Harrison Walz. Now, it's not the top-tier Republicans doing this yet, but certainly down the line, Republican elected officials are peeling off one by one and saying, this isn't for me. Get me out of here. There is no sense to what this guy is saying, and he says the same thing over and over again, knowing that this attempt to scare people, it's just not having any impact at all. In fact, it's either his lunacy is having a reverse impact, or it's just the psychology of Kamala has taken over the country. And that no matter what he says, it's curtains for him. Last night he talked about how immigration brings us all of the non-productive people from Central and South America, people who don't want to work. Why would they walk thousands of miles and take the risks that they're obviously taking? It's risk of death. But they're walking thousands of miles. For what? These so-called non-productive people are obviously incredibly motivated. They have this huge motivation to get out of South America and to walk thousands of miles. But in theory, according to Donald, when they get here, all they want to do is lay around, watch TV, and eat bonbons. It obviously makes no sense. And then, of course, the other possibility is that they are the killers and the drug dealers who Donald Trump says are being dumped in our laps, despite the fact that the statistics on immigrant crime show that they are the least likely of any people in the United States to commit a crime. They don't bother anybody. They try to get some work. And that's what they do. And when they get money, they send it home to their relatives. And they hope that their relatives can find a way to get here as well. They care about their families. They want to have a future. And they don't know what that future is in the United States. They only know one thing. Other people have come here and found a way to survive that seemed to be impossible in the countries where they lived. So how it is that we can't figure this out, at least certain people on the right in this country, and we say they're on the right, to what purpose? What do they think is happening here? If they think they're reducing crime, that's absurd, because these are the least likely people to commit a crime. If they think they're saving jobs for people, well, that's obviously not the case. People are getting jobs. People are working. The jobs that these immigrants are taking are jobs basically that nobody wants. They're jobs that go essentially to illegal workers. It's unfortunate, and we don't even need to do this. We need to help these people to come across the border, find a way to fit into the United States and become productive citizens. Let them earn citizenship. Let them pay taxes. Let them figure out how to live here like regular Americans. And we'd all be better off. And we'd be doing a favor to humanity. Again, read what it says on the Statue of Liberty. And stop playing games with this. Because there's no purpose to it. There's no value in it from an electoral standpoint. You're not going to get anything. You're not going to win any offices. And the thing that's got to be driving Donald insane is that all Kamala did is accept the nomination for president of the United States turned over to her by Joe Biden. And here Donald is out talking still about how we can get Joe Biden back into the race. I mean, if he doesn't think that sounds like desperation. And then if somebody says, well, he's just joking. My answer to that is, he better do something else besides tell a joke. I said yesterday, this guy isn't on tour. This isn't a comedy tour. He's supposedly out campaigning for president of the United States. If that's his purpose in all of this, then he better start talking about what he's going to do to be president. Well, look, he's not going to. There's no chance of it. And thankfully, there's no chance of it. Because I've said so many times that if Donald walked around like a human being and attempted to convince people to vote for him, there are some people who might be influenced. I think that's possible. But the point is, he won't do it. He can't do it. He doesn't know how to do it. All he knows how to do is rant and rave about how horrible the United States is, how profoundly destroyed this country has become due to somebody. He doesn't know who. One minute it's Joe Biden. The next minute it's Barack Obama. He doesn't even know who he's running against. Then he calls Kamala Harris the craziest names, Camilla. He knows it's not Camilla. So who does he think he's impressing? I understand. There are people who are on his side who hear him say the name the wrong way, and they all get a chuckle. But he's not getting a vote for it. Nobody says, well, that's good. Keep calling her the wrong name, and maybe we'll all win. Come on. Look, he may not know better. He may not know. But he should. He ought to know something. It's pretty amazing when you think about it. He spent 4 years in the presidency. I don't know what he did, except for to act crazy, which we know he's still doing. He does that every day. But what did he do? He passed a law that lowered taxes for billionaires. We know he did that. He got that accomplished. What else did he do? Absolutely nothing. Jobs increased for various people in the economy in a continuation of the boom that came from the Obama years. And Donald just sat there and said, hey, look what I've done. Nothing. Jobs went up under Obama. They kept going up under Trump until COVID. Now, you could say, this guy wasn't responsible for the downturn. It was COVID. Okay, sure. It was, in a sense, yeah. But Donald did absolutely nothing to try to control the crisis, to try to stop people from dying, to try to encourage people to protect themselves and others. He did nothing. Zero. He lied. He lied through the whole thing, and then he told us that he was lying when he was being interviewed by Bob Woodward. He said it very explicitly. He told Woodward that he lied because he was afraid that the country would panic. It's pretty amazing that he has that little regard for the people of the United States. Can't understand that by telling people, here's what's happening, and here's what you can do to protect yourself and your families, and we can all work together, and we can try to bring these numbers down as low as we can. Instead, he pretended everything was good because he didn't want anybody to panic. Now, you know, he didn't want anybody to panic because he thought it would look bad for him. He was worried that something would go wrong, that people's attitudes would turn negative, and that they'd point at him. And this is what he always does. He takes no responsibility for doing anything. No one's saying that he should have taken responsibility for COVID. Of course he didn't create it. But he could have taken some responsibility for trying to help people. But he couldn't even do that because he was afraid that somehow it would bounce back against him. He said it many times. And he certainly said it on the tapes to Woodward. This man didn't care about anybody or anything, which he never has. Instead, he just let everybody deal with whatever problems they had to without even knowing, in many cases, what was coming to get them, especially his own people. People who are listening to Fauci, sure, they had an idea. They put on their masks. They got themselves eventually inoculated. They did what they could to protect themselves and to protect others. Donald and his people simply yelled accusations against anybody who did anything to recognize the dangers of COVID. And Donald talks about killers and drug dealers while he left people with no protection whatsoever, not even the protection of understanding that there was something that they could possibly do to stop themselves from getting the virus. Just walk out and take your chances, because in a day or two, it'll all be gone. One person will get sick. It'll all be fine. And if you stand out in the sun, you probably won't have to worry anyway. And if you hang around a lot of bleach, you'll be super. I mean, this is Donald's version of running the presidency. This is what he did. He met with Vladimir Putin and turned over documents. Don't say he didn't. We watched him turn the documents over to the Russians in his office as they all high-fived each other and joked and laughed because they were doing it while the American journalists were locked out of the Oval Office. And the only reason we saw the pictures is because they were all being taken by Russian journalists and shown on Russian television. But we did see them. And of course, people that we were doing business with, our allies, they weren't just frustrated. They were aghast. They couldn't believe what happened. Donald was turning documents over to the Russians. This is long before Mar-a-Lago. And this guy talks about illegal aliens crossing the border who are killers and drug dealers. What did Donald do to protect families? Did nothing. In fact, he and his group fought against Joe Biden's effort to provide child care for working people in America. Not only did they fight against it, But after Joe Biden got it passed, once he won the presidency and then had control of enough of the Congress to get it passed, then at the midterms, when it flipped over in the House of Representatives, they took away the child care credits. So it's pretty clear that if Kamala is going to be able to get anything done, she's going to have to win the Senate and she's going to have to win the House in order to get done some of the remaining things that the Biden administration has been working on. One of them would be the child care tax credits. You know how important that is? That's not just a talking point. People in this country with kids have to pay $1,500, $1,800, $2,000 a month per child in order to be able to go to work. That's what it costs to get good child care in the United States. You need some help from the government to support those kids being taken care of during the day so that you can work. It's a fact. And everybody with a kid knows this. They know this very well. You would think every family, instead of talking about J.D. Vance's cat ladies, would be out here begging for voters to come forward to support Kamala Harris to get this kind of support for kids, for families, for working. But don't despair, because it's exactly what's happening. There is a psychology that is running rampant in this country. It's unstoppable. That's the amazing thing about this sort of runaway feeling. It's emotion. It's all behind Kamala. It's pushing her forward. And really, she has hardly anything to do except to speak effectively and forcefully like a leader, like a responsible human being. And she's doing it every day. And so is Tim Walz. These two are impressing the country everywhere they go. And you know it's true because tens of thousands of people are coming to these events in order to hear them. And they're not doing anything. Kamala and Tim Walz, are all they're doing is putting their people out and sending them to the doorways to hand out tickets to attend their events. I mean, they don't have to advertise anything. They don't have to beg anybody. Everybody wants to see them. This is the kind of thing that you just can't make up. You can sit around for hours and days and months planning this, and you'll never get it. And in 3 weeks, they have turned on the spigot, and the water is flowing, and there's no way to stop it. Donald doesn't know how. And I'll tell you, at this point, I don't know if he could. I don't know how he could if he wanted to. But he doesn't seem to want to. Because all he wants to do is rant and rave and point fingers and accuse people and explain how he's a victim and everything's been rigged. And in the meantime, they are doing one thing. And they are organizing for this. And they're organizing in a very serious way that is, again, the best description is dark and dystopian, because what they're doing is they're setting up poll workers all over the United States. And I know they keep saying the number somewhere in the range of about 70 of them are out there right now in different states all over. And that the idea is that they're prepared to argue against the certification of ballots, legitimate ballots, that they're there to argue against them being certified with the idea that if they can create enough disruption, that there might be some way that Donald and his people can push this election into the House of Representatives. There is no question that if they could get to the House of Representatives, well, then it would be a different story. There's enough support in the House, in the way the districts are set up, and in the way that the voting would take place, so that any Republican would win. But to legitimately get it into the House of Representatives, I mean, you'd have to have some kind of a tie in the Electoral College, or, and this is what they're hoping for, some kind of a dispute which would make it impossible to count all the votes, and therefore nobody would have 270, and they could then say, fine, let the House figure it out. This is his only chance to disrupt the country enough to push this into the House of Representatives. And he is establishing these groups all over the United States in order to try to achieve this, because it's the only way that he could possibly win this election. The only possibility. He can't win it by numbers. That's out. He can't win it by electoral votes. That's out. He can only win it by disrupting everything and then claiming that it all needs to go to the House, and hoping that he can get the United States Supreme Court to go along with it. That's not that far off. He could probably get that to happen if he can disrupt things enough, if he can make the claim that the votes were all rigged, it was all unfair, nothing was being counted properly, that ballots were being harvested. He's got all kinds of stories. It's all a way to try to convince people that our elections are worthless. You know what he says. Vote this time. In fact, as he says, my Christians, vote this time. Because if you do, you'll never have to vote again. Imagine any president of the United States telling people that if you vote this next time and get me elected, you'll never have to vote again. We tell people every year, get registered, go to vote. Don't just vote in presidential elections, vote in your local elections as well. Participate as much as you can in the system. Be good citizens. Donald says, just vote one time, and that's it. You'll never have to vote again. I know he didn't mean it, but he did keep saying it repeatedly, over and over. He kept saying it. But I know he didn't mean it. But he did keep saying it. He had a message for somebody in all of that. But I've got a message for you. Go to dinner tonight at Wendy's. That's a message. Wendy's is at 18,000 Chesterfield Airport Road, and I promise you, the food is delicious, and you won't be unhappy at all. You'll love it. They've got wings. They've got cheeseburgers and hamburgers and patty melts. They've got smoked meats. They've got pizza. They've got salads. They've got tremendous drinks. Everybody loves their drinks. I can promise you that they have the best iced tea that I've had anywhere locally, for sure. They've got great iced tea. But beyond all that, it's just a great place to eat, friendly atmosphere. Yes, the food is great. And, of course, all of this put together by Ben and his wife so effectively that they decided they had no choice. They had to move this out as well to Defiance, Missouri, because it's just not fair to keep it all in Chesterfield. So at $29.99 South Highway 94, they've got the Wendy's Roadhouse, where the same excellent food is there for everybody to come and enjoy in another great atmosphere, because it's all terrific at Wendy's. Now, if you're interested in jewelry, 4506 Hampton's the place. Al and his son AJ run a great business. They have jewelry cases throughout this entire giant area where you can go and look and just browse through all of it. Decide if there's something there that you like. Think about whether you'd like to have something designed specifically for you, because Al and his people are extremely creative. They design really nice jewelry. They will also buy and sell coins and jewelry at excellent prices. Everybody that goes in loves to talk to Al. He's just a great guy at a great business where you can make some money, you can get some fine jewelry, and eventually you might even want your watch fixed, and believe me, they can do it. That's Jewels on Hampton, 4506 Hampton in St. Louis. Now, if you're looking for great clothes, St. Louis Suit Company is the best place for men, and I can tell you they've been there for 30 years, effectively selling suits and shoes and shirts, and of course the ties. The ties are absolutely beautiful. They are silk. They are very expensive looking, but the prices are $5. It's that simple. Every time I talk to people about the ties, they say, "Really? Where is that place?" And believe me, when they walk in, it's hard to resist these $5 ties because they're just so nice. I've got so many ties, I don't even know what to do with them all. I often give them to kids because they're just so nice. I just buy them. They look good. Of course, the St. Louis Suit Company is on the corner of Forsyth and Central in Clayton. They've been there for 30 years. They will sell you great suits, that's for sure. But they also have great overcoats, which I know it's a little warm for that now, but the prices are good still for the overcoats. And you know, when it's 30 degrees outside, everybody's going to be running for an overcoat, and they're not going to pay the lowest prices then. So check it out. The St. Louis Suit Company in Clayton, Forsyth and Central. And remember, if you're planning to get married or you're going to a wedding, you need wedding attire, the St. Louis Suit Company is one of the tops for getting wedding attire for men. Check them out in Clayton. They're the best. St. Louis Suit Company. Okay. You know, ever since the stock market got slammed a little bit a couple of weeks ago, the Republicans have been crossing their fingers and truly praying for markets to collapse and for the economy to be crushed. Donald talks about it all the time. The last 2 weeks, he's been saying the depression is here. In fact, you know what he's talking about. He says, first of all, there's going to be World War III. And then he says, we're facing a depression. This is what he hopes. The truth is a little bit different. There's pressure on the economy for sure. There is no doubt about it. And unemployment has ticked up just slightly from 3.9 to 4.3%. Still very, very low. Total full employment. Inflation continuing to run very light. This morning there were inflation numbers out, very modest. But the big ones are going to be tomorrow. That'll be the CPI. So everybody's going to be watching for that. The expectation is the numbers will be low. Don't get me wrong. The markets are still in jeopardy. There is no question about it. There's no all clear in all of this. And by the way, it's not Joe Biden's fault and certainly not Kamala Harris's fault. There are cycles in all of this. And the economy, after 500 days of what they call an inverted yield curve, which I've described many times, I mean, the pressure is on. And the Federal Reserve is watching very closely because they're a little concerned. They don't want things to fall off a cliff. They want things to fall just enough to keep inflation dropping, but not enough to make everybody crazy. So they're working a very fine line. It's not easy. It really isn't. It's also a job that needs to be done. Without the Federal Reserve in this position, the country would be in trouble. We've been in trouble over decades before. But we've got a very responsible group of people at the Fed, top economists, and they're doing their best to make some important judgments. They're not just rolling dice. They're not just sort of taking a guess and then going out to relax in the sun. This is not a joke for them. This is a job. It's very serious. And they know how important it is because it's not just the United States. It's leading the world economy. Other countries have similar decisions that they have to make, and they have to watch the United States in the midst of all of this. So it's all working the way it should. How much pain we have to sustain before it's over, I can't tell you the exact amount, and neither can the top experts at the Federal Reserve Bank. It's that difficult. But there's trouble ahead. There are problems that still have to be ironed out. It's all about how much you're spending and how much you're bringing in taxes and how much you charge to buy and sell money, which we do every day. We buy and sell money with people all over the world. And it's part of the whole business that we do, selling our goods to other countries and trying to bring goods into this country, which we do from China often. I mean, that's just part of what we do. It's fine. There's nothing nefarious about it. You know, people like to say, well, China's ripping us off. You know, if China's ripping us off, they're not doing a very good job of it. They've got their own problems. Their economy is really stuck in the mud, and they don't know how to get it out. And they've done everything they can. They're trying to get themselves out of a mess. They aren't worrying about trying to crush us. Sure, they'd love to see us bogged down in Europe with Russia. Oh, they would love to see that. But as you probably know, Joe Biden, who has managed the situation in Russia to perfection, he and everybody were all watching as Ukraine is crossing the border into Russia and making Vladimir Putin insane. Putin's got threats. You know he's been threatening the United States for 6 months, a year, talking about annihilating us with nuclear weapons. But who started that mess? I mean, you could tell the Russian people anything you want, but Vladimir Putin knows who started it. He did. He thought he could just run through Europe and grab what he wanted. But when it turned out the alliance, the NATO alliance, was too well put together, too organized, and too unwilling to back down, then he didn't know what to do. But he thought he could just keep on pushing and get some part of what he wanted. He even started to have a little bit of success when the Republicans refused to give munitions to Ukraine for a number of months. But Ukraine is back being armed again, and they're using what we give them to great effect. They're crossing that border. They're taking land away from the Russians. And this is something that not only does it embarrass Putin, but he never imagined that he would be facing this kind of a problem. And he doesn't know what to do about it, because contrary to all of his accusations about what he's going to do, he knows better. He can't start using nuclear weapons against anybody. He can't really hurt directly the United States of America, because if he does, he knows it's the end of everybody. So all of those players in Europe are stuck with what they've got. And it's not good. And, you know, there's a point probably, I would guess, where some of the top people in Russia watching Putin might look at him and say to themselves, do we need more of this? You know, they did that to Khrushchev all the way back in the 60s. And it's probably just a matter of how much they can take. I don't know the answer. They know. They know how frustrating it is. They know that they have people who are dying in Russia who were never supposed to even be part of this war, but they've been dragged into it. They've been part of a broad-based draft of people who in many cases are even prisoners. They're being pulled out of jails and sent to fight. And believe me, they don't want to be there. But the people from Ukraine, they'll do anything to fight back because it's their country and they're not playing. They want to protect their country. So far, of course, their country's destroyed, but we all know what's going to happen in the end. Vladimir Putin's going to walk away because he's going to have to, or he'll be forced to walk away by the Russians, whether it's his people or his generals or somebody. And he's forced to walk away. And then what's going to happen is the United States is going to go into Ukraine with enormous amounts of money and rebuild everything. And there's going to be so much money made in Europe by rebuilding Ukraine. I mean, we know how this works. We saw it in Germany. We saw it in Japan. It's the same process. They know where this is headed. They just need to get past all the killing. And I assure you they're trying. And again, Joe Biden, as old as a man as he is, and as difficult as it is for him to tell the story, he has managed this to perfection. And he has made the people in NATO feel that being together is effective and likely to serve everybody's best interests for decades to come. He has built confidence in the United States, and with the election headed in the direction it is, you can only imagine what European leaders are thinking. They were so frightened. What would happen if Donald Trump won the election in the United States? Where would that leave Europe? Where would that leave the planet? But at this point, you can forget it. Donald has trashed this thing about as badly as anybody possibly could. And now we're just waiting around for 84 days so that he can jump up and say, I'm a victim. I won this election, but they're all counting the ballots wrong. See, that's where this is going. But everyone knows it. And I can tell you that while his side is bringing in these poll workers to fight against election certification, be assured of this. The Democrats are also hard at work. They have hired lawyers on top of lawyers, people to walk into these polling places and see what's happening and to appeal whatever it is that Donald comes up with to the courts. So there's an army on both sides. This is not just one side doing it. The Democrats know the plan. They understand that Donald is planning to just say, I won, no matter what the numbers are. But under these circumstances, it's going to be 1,000 times more difficult than it was the last time because these numbers are far beyond the 7 million votes that Joe Biden won by in 2020. This is an amazing election. As they say, a wave election. I mean, you're going to see in 84 days. But I think at this point, with the numbers and the polls jumping as quickly as they are, and they are exploding upward for Kamala Harris, you can bet that this isn't just going to be a tie election. It's going to be far beyond that. Women, blacks, young people. That's a combination that can't be beat. I understand you got some white guys out here without an education. But that's about it. It's not a good equation. You don't want to be on that side, I can promise you. So, yes, the economics are a problem here. And we're going to have to maneuver, and we'll see what the numbers look like. I can tell you this. I'll tell you about Donald's economics. DJT, that fabulous company of his that does nothing. Well, it does a good job of, it loses money doing nothing. They say it's a media technology company. They wouldn't know what media or technology is, except for to go to Beck, to Pecker. They could go to David Pecker, and they could talk to him about how he could steal a story and make something up about, you know, five-headed Martians or some craziness like that that you could read at the checkout counter at the grocery store. But that's about it. No, what's really happening here is that Donald's company is going to zero. Today it's back into the 23s. Now, that's the lowest it's been since it hit $80 a share when it first came out onto the marketplace. Remember the special purpose acquisition company that he calls Trump Media? Unbelievable. They don't do anything. Look them up online. They've got 30 employees. I'd like to know what they're doing. But at any rate, the company does nothing except for lose, which is all Donald Trump has ever done in his entire life. Everything he's done loses. Yeah, the market's down a little bit from the high. Not that much. And beyond that, in the last couple of weeks, the market's been rebounding, but not DJT. It just keeps on sliding. Today, he lost another $100 million. When it breaks 23, then watch what happens. And in the meantime, it's August the 13th, and he's got until September before he can sell any shares. So he's got 2 weeks to go before he can unload, which at this point amounts to about $2 billion worth after he's already lost somewhere around $7 billion. And it's at its lowest point since the company went public. So we'll watch to see how the genius businessman handles this one. Because so far, his brilliant company has taken him to the exact same place that every other business that he's been involved in has gone to. Everything he does goes to zero. Everything he does turns out to be worthless. One time in 2016, poor Hillary Clinton, who was truly one of the most qualified people in the United States to be president for our own good and for hers, she ended up on the wrong side of a fluke. And since then, Donald has lost every single time. He's lost in the elections, he's lost in the courts, and he's losing in business. Everything Donald does goes the wrong way. It's just the way it is. And yes, Michael, the UAW is filing charges against Trump, and they're suing him. And Isaac Hayes' family, they're suing Donald for millions of dollars because he's playing their music. And he's been told over and over, don't play it anymore. It's not yours to make that decision. We control that music. It's our music. You can't do this. And what does Donald do? Keeps playing it, ignores it. He gets all kinds of letters from the attorneys. He throws them in the trash can. He thinks everything just works his way. And yet, why would he even believe that? Because in the courts, he owes E. Jean Carroll $90 million. He owes the state of New York $450 million. And he's going to owe millions of dollars to Isaac Hayes's family because he thinks he can just do whatever he wants, whenever he wants. He doesn't care. And yes, the UAW is after him, and that won't be the only group. And believe me, Jack Smith is not done with this either. I know people say, oh, yes, wink, wink, Aileen Cannon dismissed the case. You know, if Donald Trump thinks that he got a victory out of what Aileen Cannon did in South Florida, I am promising you now that we will be sitting here in front of this microphone. The case will be refiled. Everything will be restarted. And chances are very good that no one will have ever heard of Aileen Cannon's name ever again attached to any of this. Donald is getting himself nothing. He buys a few people here and there. He buys Sam Alito. He buys Clarence Thomas. And believe me, he can't buy people like Amy Coney Barrett. He can appoint the lady, and she's conservative, but she's not crazy. And Kavanaugh is also not crazy. And Gorsuch is not crazy. These people are young. They know they're going to be on the court for a long time after Donald Trump is long gone and deposited on the ash heap of history. They don't want to be part of that. They don't want their legacy on the court to be mixed in with that mess. They'll go so far, but not one step further. Sure, Alito and Thomas, they'll do anything. They're the true believers on the court who will sign on to any deal, no matter how crazy it sounds, especially Clarence Thomas when he's got donors who will pay him millions of dollars for it. Sam Alito, I don't know what he's getting. Maybe he's getting millions too. We just don't know it yet. He's certainly hanging flags upside down. We know he's doing that much. And then next week, we've got the Chicago Convention. People are praying on the Republican side for violence like 1968. The only problem is, there's no war in Vietnam. Sure, there are unfair things happening in Palestine to the Palestinians. We need to address it. The United States needs to be serious about that. What's happening in the Middle East right now? We don't even know from minute to minute what Iran might do next, what Hezbollah might do. But I can tell you this. Hoping for a 1968 convention in Chicago, I wouldn't bet on it. There are going to be some protesters. There's going to be some disruption. But overall, the American people are not angry like that. The American people want what they're getting right now, and that is a wave of support for Kamala Harris. And it's a good thing. And we've got Wendy's. We've got the St. Louis Suit Company, and we've got Jules on Hampton. And this is Showdown. And I'm Mark Kaysen. Good night.